Lynn Page, 213-4009.
Good morning, everybody. Today's message is part two of one that I started yesterday about chemical carcinogens and their relationship to cancer. And once again, for the record, I'm certainly not suggesting that we shouldn't be concerned about chemicals or pollution or anything like that. But when we're talking about human health, the issue is, what does the science show is the connection between chemical carcinogens and cancer? And are we really paying attention to the things we should pay attention to when we're looking at reducing the risk of cancer and other diseases too? So based on the evidence that I talked about yesterday from Dr. Campbell's studies, it appears that chemical carcinogens are not in many cases harmful unless cancer promoters in the diet, like animal protein, exceed a certain percentage. That means that a person eating an optimal diet could be exposed to chemicals throughout their lifetime without getting cancer. And in fact, we know that this happens because many people who have the same exposure or worse exposure to chemicals than we do don't get cancer. The cancer rate is lower, for example, in many countries where pollution is significantly worse than the cancer rate is here. Now, another issue related to this whole thing is the difference between correlation and cause and effect relationships, which frequently is very confusing in the medical literature. Frequently, factors can coexist, but there's no cause and effect relationship. And I'll give you an example. All successful businesses have telephones. I think we could all agree with that. But does having a telephone mean that you will be successful in business? Or is there a connection between having a phone and successful business? Of course not. Exposure to or having a telephone is a tool that we all need, but simply getting one doesn't ensure your success. Other things have to be going on too. So exposure to chemicals has increased while the rates of many diseases, including cancer, have increased. But this does not necessarily mean that these chemicals are the actual cause of cancer, as Dr. Campbell's research suggests. Now, what does this mean for people and how they live their lives? And again, not taking this as an endorsement for the polluted world in which we live or farming practices or the way we manufacture anything, but we have to remain objective in interpreting the studies that have looked at this topic. And what this means for you is you are not likely to end up with a cancer that requires treatment because you drink water from a plastic bottle, because you microwave your food, or because the lettuce you buy is not organic. You're likely to develop a cancer that requires treatment when you consume cancer promoters in the diet, like animal foods, fats, and oils, and particularly when you eat dairy protein. And I think this is really good news because you have a lot more control over what you eat and in terms of the composition of the diet than you do pollution in the air and the chemicals on the salad that you eat in a restaurant some evening. So I think that the bottom line on this issue is that many well-meaning researchers and healthcare professionals are distracting people from things that make a huge difference, like diet, by insisting that chemical exposure is the issue instead of focusing on what really is. So I hope that that provides some clarification and maybe puts your mind at rest a little bit. And again, not that we breathe a sigh of relief and say, gosh, we just don't have to be concerned with any of this, but rather that we realize how much control we do have over our risk factors for disease. That's all for now, and have a great day.